This is Isaac of Nineveh, again with another edition of Hot Wind from the Desert. Today I've got a program over forgiveness. Please stay tuned and I'll be right back. Welcome back. Forgiveness is a major, major, major issue in the Christian faith. In fact, one could even argue that it is the issue in the Christian faith. Forgiveness from God, forgiveness towards other people, forgiveness in the body, forgiveness of yourself. This seems to be the recurring theme over and over again, and what separates Christianity from other major world religions. What is our forgiveness based in? How is it accomplished? What does it look like? How can one do it? How does one know if one is harboring unforgiveness? These are questions and topics that are directly related to the New Testament idea of what forgiveness is, from the heart. Perhaps one of the best things that I have ever come across in the past few years is the idea that forgiveness is a process and not just a simple one-time event. In fact, I think for many people, they think of everything as a one-time event when it comes to theological processes, but they never question that idea. I believe many people have experiences that are very mile markerish, so to speak. It's there, and it's big, and it's a big light post in their life, and they look back on their life. But to make that the sum total of what the experience is about is, I think, false. The same is true as with people's conversions. If conversion is seen as a dramatic one-time birth and then everything is downhill from there, what exactly is sanctification? What exactly is divinization about? If it not becoming more like God, to use the Eastern Orthodox term. So, forgiveness too. For years, I was taught forgiveness was a one-time event. I made a decision to forgive somebody, and that was it. And I never worked through the process. Connected to this is the idea that we can have emotional pain and that we can have emotional wounds that, unless they are healed, it doesn't matter how many of the outward behaviors or cognitive behaviors that we put ourselves through, that the wound is still there. So I was able to work through some of this process myself, and I found it to be very helpful. There are several different ministries out there that help people do this, and I highly recommend them. One is called Theophostic, not Theosophic, but Theophostic, which means shining God's light, and it comes out of a place in Kentucky. Another one is called Sozo, which is a restoration of the entire person, a very holistic approach to ministry and to the kingdom. Sozo, in turn, comes from a place in California and also is associated with the ministries of Bill Johnson at Bethel in Redding, California, and also with Todd Bentley, whose ministries are called Fresh Fire Ministries. All of these I highly recommend, and I believe them to be very, very helpful. Some other counselors that I came across, named Robert and Nancy Scott, both of these counselors have sat down and written The Process Through Pain and Loss. This is what forgiveness really is. So I would like to read this on the air right now so that people out there can get an idea of what I'm talking about. I keep this folded up and I go through it occasionally just to make sure that I don't have any kind of unforgiveness in my heart. If you're the type to believe in supernatural things, which I hope you are if you're listening to this podcast, then forgiveness is one of the biggest doorways that the demonic has to get a foothold into people's lives. I've seen this with unbelievers. I've seen this with believers. I've seen this in my own life. Once you open that door of unforgiveness, it is huge that we get free from it and we get that door shut. Otherwise, the enemy is able to come in and insert his lies and darkness, and you're not able to operate in the freedom that Christ wants to give you. So, without further ado, Forgiveness, the process through pain and loss. Forgiveness is the conscious decision to release the person or persons who have offended us of all obligations, to let go of resentment, the right to retaliate, and the right to hang on to emotional consequences of the hurt. The truth shall make you free, but if you hold on to these lies of the enemy, the results of unforgiveness will be bondage. People who successfully move through this process abandon the victim mentality and embrace healing. They are no longer in bondage to the past. They are now free to live in the present, with the reality and freedom of Christ flowing through them. Forgiveness is revisiting the past event, not to change the past, but to change the beliefs, spiritual strongholds, and reactions created from the hurtful event. The event itself will never be changed. This is not an easy process, but as we move closer to the Father, He will give us the courage and strength to do the work necessary for complete healing. The event itself will never be changed. This is not an easy process, but as we move closer to the Father, He will give us the courage and strength to do the work necessary for complete healing. We need to be careful of the idea that time heals all wounds. The passage of time may be sufficient for forgetting and a degree of emotional numbing, but it is not sufficient for genuine forgiveness. Genuine forgiveness requires a person to move through four areas with the reality of Christ as their strength. These areas don't require a specific process to follow, but they must each be addressed. First, let's explore the psychodynamics of emotional pain or emotional injury. As we look closely, we see that the foundation of an emotional injury is the perceived violation of a trust. We must never forget that perception is what the world turns on. It is how we determine reality. When trust is betrayed, people feel the hurt deep in their souls and their emotions. Examples of broken trust might be parents that sexually or physically abuse their children, parents that don't provide for their children, Christian leaders who commit adultery, friends telling a lie, workers failing to honor commitments, confidential information shared with others, and numerous other ways people violate and hurt each other. Looking at emotional wounds more deeply, we notice that people will tend to process the hurt by feeling anger and rage towards the perpetrator who has broken the trust, or they will feel shame and sadness as they accuse themselves of being damaged and ineligible for future loving relationships. In addition, they are likely to seek to be firmly in control of others in order to avoid further hurt, or they may act unreasonably as they despair of any hope that they can do anything to prevent future pain. In a more general sense, people tend to move back and forth between anger towards the offender and sadness or depression as they feel the loss and pain. Sometimes people get stuck in their anger or sink into long-term depression. Emotional wounds often leave a person with a poorer sense of who they are. This loss may be a weakening of self-worth or confidence in one's ability to perform well. It is very crucial that the person is able to move towards the Father so He can reveal where true worth comes from: intimacy with Him and not one's performance. This may be a situation the Father will use to reveal one's source of confidence. Our carnal nature or flesh wants to provide our self-worth and operate independently from the life and power of God's Spirit through performance, achievements, and connections with esteemed individuals. As the Spirit explores the soul, He may reveal that this wounding exposes other false worldviews, such as invulnerability, a belief that events are predictable or controllable, the belief that life with God in this world is fair, or that Christians shouldn't have to experience pain or suffering. At the deepest level, the hurt has established a sense of loss, resulting in emotional wounds and spiritual strongholds, which, left unhealed, give opportunity to the enemy. As this person processes the events of the offense, he or she becomes aware, at the same level, that this vulnerability and helplessness is very painful. The natural reaction for many is anger in order to protect from this sense of vulnerability and sadness. Depending on the person, this can be turned inward or expressed outward in many different forms of strong or passive emotions. People can get stuck in either the angry stage leading to rage or angry outburst, or the sad stage leading to depression. Caregivers need to keep in mind that anger is a secondary emotion that signals something else is wrong. Primary emotions may be fear, insecurity, jealousy, resentment, etc. When someone gets stuck in an emotion such as self-pity and despair, they may eventually become comfortable with that identity. People will lean on what is familiar and stable, even if the stable thing is depression or rage. Some become so used to this identity that they are afraid to ask the Holy Spirit into that wound. Components of the forgiveness process. First and most importantly, the presence of God must be invited into the wounded area. The Holy Spirit wants to cleanse us from lies, sins, self-protections, flesh patterns, and spiritual strongholds, so we can experience more of His fellowship, freedom, and life. As Christians, we tend to seek to forgive while we are still walking in the dark. Christian teaching we have received may have taught us just to say the words, then move on without letting the whole forgiveness process take its course. We need to let the Spirit encourage us to embrace our pain, confess our sins, face our attitudes of victimhood, and the rise of retaliation that often accompany emotional wounding. Forgiveness involves working through intellectual beliefs or lies, demonic strongholds, emotional wounds, and acts of the will. Looking at the hurts through the eyes of truth, intellectual or cognitive perspective. Healing of damaged emotions involves the reinterpreting of the event and what it means. The story we create around the event becomes very powerful and often holds the key to deeper release and freedom. It is important to separate the events from the interpretation of the events. This exploring has the potential to adjust the very foundation of the individual's worldview. As an example, a woman that was deeply hurt by a man might have generalized that all men are dangerous. This interpretation will keep the woman from developing close relationships with men and possibly the father. That judgment will need to be exposed to his light and abandoned into his hands of strength and justice. Areas of denial will be exposed as the lies are rejected and reality is eternal, internalized. Vows of protection are often uncovered. I will never again expose myself to an authority figure because they will use and hurt me. This vow is not made with God, but with the spiritual forces of darkness. This type of vow needs to be renounced and the need for safety submitted to the Father. As this deeper healing occurs, people that have been hurt will become capable of viewing the offender as a person not unlike themselves, one whom God loves, who has needs, is tempted to walk in the flesh, and willfully sins against God and others from time to time. Breaking the spiritual stronghold. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal or fleshly, but mighty in God for the destruction of strongholds. When the lie is exposed for what it is and the sin confessed, the demonic force no longer has a right to the memory or wound. This confession of sin involves acts done by us and sins committed against us. The counselor should watch and discern it if the confessor is able to receive the forgiveness in their hearts. In the power of Christ, we can destroy the spiritual strongholds that keep us from walking in His life and freedom. Revisiting the hurt and pain, the emotional perspective. Individuals need to connect with their pain, feel the emotion again, in order to be healed of the wound. It has been suppressed and denied so long we are unaware of its effect on our relationships, and especially our relationship with God. We have approached these negative emotions like a Buddhist seeking to kill and detach from them instead of bringing them to the Father. Our focus is so strong on denying and running from the pain that processing it is almost always left out. We need to look at the loss that has occurred, and it needs to be expressed as grieving and mourning. This is more than just talking about the damage. These deep issues of loss have far-reaching effects on the well-being of the person. These find lodging in our thought process and perception of the person and the event. Jesus said, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The Holy Spirit will bring up these beliefs as we submit the memory or event to Him. Releasing the person and wound to God, an act of the will. This is a conscious decision to release the person, need for revenge, hurt, and loss to the Father. It is embracing the freedom to choose life in His presence over the darkness once held by the individual. It also allows God freedom to move powerfully in the offender's life. Men were never designed to carry the offenses of others. It breaks us down and we begin to experience emotional distress and distance from God. Forgiveness is a process that often needs to be done repeatedly over a period of time in lesser and lesser degrees of emotional pain. The length of time that this will take depends on the individual, the magnitude of the offense, and other unresolved losses and wounds. After we have forgiven, we are free to work on our emotional responses to the painful offense. It is important to remember that the process of forgiveness often occurs while we still don't have answers for the cause of the offense. We rarely will have all the answers as to why things happened the way they did. Our Father does have all the answers, and He suffered with you as you experience wounding and loss. He will also be with you as you experience healing and wholeness. Again, what I have just read is a selection from Forgiveness, the Process Through Pain and Loss by Robert and Nancy Scott, some counselors that I've had the privilege to meet and to discuss things with and to receive some counseling. Now, personally, I have walked through each of these steps, and I have seen the difference that they make. And I have experienced the freedom that they bring. And as I said before, earlier in the program, I try to go through these steps pretty regularly when I start feeling like despondent or maybe anger or seeing why I'm bursting out in kind of outburst or something like this. And then I know that there's something wrong and it needs to be looked at more in depth. So I encourage you, listen to this. Take these words and try to work through the process of forgiveness Ask the Holy Spirit to come, and I guarantee He will. He has never failed me when I've sat down and set aside the time to do this. This is Isaac of Nineveh, and you've been listening to Hot Wind from the Desert. And I will be back again, hopefully next week, with another edition.